All right, everybody, welcome back in to the Mining Stock Daily Podcast. General market commentary here with my good buddy, Tony Greer of TG Macro and the Morning Navigator. I tell you what, if TG comes to the poker table in Vegas, you bet your ass you better get up out of the table because he's going to run away with things. He has been batting 100% here in the last few months. Tony, here we are. We're recording. It's about, I don't know, an hour before your Caesar salad break and lunchtime. We got stocks raging all-time highs. S&P, new all-time high. NASDAQ just broke out to a new all-time high. If it closes here, c'est la vie. My goodness, buddy, you've been calling this. You've been a raging stock bull for months now, and the party is not stopping.
No, man. You know, this CPI pitch came over like a beach ball for us too. You know, just kind of the way that we follow the markets on the Navigator. You know, that was the PPI CPI this week was the clear hurdle that the S&P had to get over after living through the last CPI bout that we just had that set it back about 5 to 8%. Right now, that wasn't a steep pullback. It was barely enough to sink your teeth into, but it gave you three bounces off of the 100-day moving average and then recovered the 50-day. And then we came into yesterday and I felt like we came into Monday and I felt like the market is only being held back by the unknown of PPI, CPI, Tuesday, Wednesday. And if the market can get through that, it is gone. And so that's what you're seeing on the screens now. And the way it's set up, Trevor, if you want to go through it, is we got PPI yesterday that came in a little hot on the surface. But you looked at the revisions and the revisions were down, right? They were into negative territory for March. So that said that the thing that confirmed that we had a potential inflation problem last month was erased. Right, that confirmation that was like a little bit hot PPI, which confirmed hot CPI. We came back yesterday and we said, "Oh yeah, that inflation that you thought happened in PPI, it didn't happen. It was actually negative." So the market said, "Oh well, it sounds like CPI tomorrow is probably not going to be a fire number that's going to dislocate the bond market to the downside." I mean, right when rates are forced higher on a hot CPI print. And once that risk is alleviated, you have the S&P 5,313 bid light on the offered side going into, you know, the end of the week now. There's no more data to come out this week, right? This was the hurdle. So we're going to get through this now, and you're going to see what looks like is going to happen is the interest rate sensitive sectors of the market that were backing off hard after the CPI bout. Now rates are much lower and those sectors can rally. So what do you see on the top of the screen today? Semiconductors, home construction, software, momentum stocks, gorgeous breakout in cloud storage. Utilities are higher because rates are lower. Gold miners are breaking out. Uranium's rallying. I mean, you want to fade this kind of market? Like this stuff is getting good. There are cyclicals, technology, and natural resources at the top of the leaderboard, racing neck and neck. You want to fade that? Not in my world. You know what I mean? So, this is kind of what we've been looking for in the blue sky breakout, and we got confirmation this week. So I don't want to steal the microphone so that you can ask some pointed questions, which you always do, Trevor, but this pitch came over like a beach ball this week. And I'm glad that I telegraphed it that way in the Navigator. I telegraphed it in the Slack channel. I telegraphed it on Twitter yesterday after at 9:45. I tweeted yesterday that downward revision in PPI says that tomorrow CPI is not going to be a scorching surprise in any way. And wait until you see what the stock market does. And that's what's happening.
Okay, so my follow-up question here, because since December when Jay Powell and the Fed had talked about potential of a pivot, potential rate cut, those motivations, they didn't have the data to back up the actual move there for a rate cut. But here we are. Has that narrative changed in the last 24 hours, TG? Is a rate cut on the table now if you're sitting in that in the board at the FOMC?
Man, I feel like if I'm the Fed right now, you can wake me up in December and we'll just check things at the end of the year.
I agree.
Because
I agree.
There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. There is, except maybe, you know, pop on a 60 Minutes and, you know, drop some propaganda, say hello and do what they always do. You know, like there's nothing to do because there is enough of an inflation impulse to keep the Treasury market offered. And there is enough employment and manufacturing, maybe GDP weakness that, you know, bonds aren't really going to back off too hard either. Or they're not going to rally too sharply either. So like with rates in a range, that's my scenario. That fits the 94-95 analog that I've been trying to trade this rally with. And mean reversion trades in the rates market are the most bullish thing in the world for stocks. And the longer you see rates sitting in the middle of the range, the more you can just pay offers and play your breakouts in the stock market and have no fear that it's a false breakout or that it's going to collapse on you. Like that ain't going on. The breakouts are breaking out and they're running. And this market couldn't be more perfect for that.
Yeah. The dollar's falling. It's about 104.5 right now. It's a big move lower. The bond market is nothing but a buy throughout the board, but we're seeing commodities, specifically precious metals, also get a rise. And here's what's interesting, TG. I know you like to listen to our good friend Dimitri Kafinas over at Hidden Forces. In the last episode with Paolo Macro, he said, listen, we were in this period of time where the dollar was rising and gold was going with it. It was very interesting, but seems like they were obviously both being a safe haven moves. But he was speculating that maybe we get back to that reversion where the dollar falls and precious metals begin to rise. And he thought that might be back on the table, which is interesting. So here we are, and I know it's just one day. The dollar's falling. Precious metals are up. I mean, silver's knocking at $30 once again. Gold's got that bid up to $23.80, I think, the last I saw. The gold miners are moving higher. Do we get back to kind of some, I don't know, lack better, traditional moves here that the market's used to seeing?
Yeah, we can. That dollar dynamic can return for sure. And I think it's just going to be a complement to what's going on in the gold market. I feel like the gold market is trading beautifully all by itself. And it's not even really been directly affected by the bond market, which has been great. And so the fact that like gold seems to be acting like, the way I'm looking at gold is that it rallied for 2 years, it consolidated for 3 years, and now it's breaking out against the headlines of utter global debt porn, right? It's like when the U.S., when word got around, I'm still sticking to the story no matter what. When word got around that we were spending $1 trillion every 100 days, that's when gold broke out through 2080, 2100, right? And now here we tacked on a high up to 2400 or so, and now we're kind of going to test that high again. But that breakout was the real technical breakout. It did everything you wanted to. It pulled back to support, and now it's going again. So it's just acting like a breakout all by itself. And I can get behind the idea that it's going to rally for years now, because we just sat through 3 years of consolidation where everybody was banging their head against the wall and silver wouldn't do a damn thing. And now, you know, like you said, and I'm not a silver bug, but silver is obviously trading right to the high of the range, in danger of a major breakout there. Gold looks great again. It's just like that blue sky trading where you just expect it to just tack on new all-time highs, you know, a couple of times a week. And central banks are still buying, right? And why are they buying? Because it sounds like they're hedging their fiat currency reserves, right? In smart fashion. So, man, the gold market's got a lot going for it. And I don't even mind crypto being bid alongside it, because it's the same kind of expression of displeasure with, you know, central bank and political irresponsibility. You know, and I don't doubt that those two securities can express the same thing at the same time. So I kind of look for them to trade in tandem now. And it kind of makes me a little bit bullish Bitcoin, especially since Bitcoin, not that I don't mean to change the subject on you, but I kind of look at them expressing a little bit of the same thing. And so that's it, man. So the gold is behaving like a freestanding breakout all of its own. And that's all I need to see. And it looks great.
Yeah. This copper move has been interesting. I wonder how much attention you've been paying to it. It did move above $5 both yesterday and today, and seems to be stiff resistance at $5 per pound level as it's been getting slammed back down. I mean, still huge moves here. TG, you know, I learned lessons from the likes of people like you. When things move exponentially hard and fast, it's time to take a breath and take a look and maybe try, you know, calm down the bullishness a little bit. And that's kind of where I was yesterday a little bit. I actually messaged some friends online. I was like, I don't know, this is a little too much. But yet the fundamentals is you have treatment charges, refining charges going negative. So refiners are paying people for product to get it into their processing. That's very abnormal and unheard of. We still have this continued supply deficit going forward. You know, so there's these reasons behind the copper market why it'd be moving. But I'm just kind of curious, like, is the economy, I mean, if Dr. Copper is the telling story of an economy, like, is this telling us that the economy is all healthy and fine and c'est la vie?
Well, you know, it could be saying that it's not as bad as everyone thought, right? We just lived through a period where, like, recession was the most popular word on FinTwit. You know what I mean? Like, everybody was, it was a question of when and, you know, how deep and how hard a landing, and, like, all the violins were out, you know, playing all that nonsense. And it never came to fruition. So, you know, that's why I feel like that's why kind of rates are sideways, right? Because the economy's fine. There's no pressure on the Federal Reserve to act on the economy, certainly. So if you're living through it, maybe it's a question of where you're sitting, but the economy feels okay to me. You know, I've been riding around on packed airplanes this year a couple times, and, you know, the stores are packed. You can't get a restaurant and a steak reservation in a steakhouse on Thursday or Friday night in New York City at all. And, you know, I don't think, I mean, that's always the case, but I mean, the economy doesn't feel terrible. And just to relate it to copper, you know, copper has been disappointing people for a really, really long time. And I think I brought it up before, but since you mentioned Paolo Macro, who's somebody that I'm in the middle of making a plan to finally meet for the first time, and I look forward to that. But he made a great comment about copper, and he said the copper breakout is going to take, is a function of how long it has been disappointing and leaving the market totally and utterly confused and not doing anything. And when it breaks out of that, it's really going to go, you know? And so, like, I feel like the world's been frustrated with the copper market. Like, I was talking about bullish copper trades like 2 years ago on Real Vision, because we have got this big administration pivot toward electric vehicles and there's copper shortages, and the price got to 10K and fell flat on its face in that deflationary spell that the Fed created, right? So it's hard to battle that, but it's clear that the fundamentals are bullish and that they're still there. And so we just had this firecracker go off where COMEX spreads, if you look at the front month COMEX spread, June, July went from a dollar contango to 2.25 backwardated in about a month. So that's like the copper market sitting up and going, oops, you know, suddenly there's no copper around. Either that or somebody is borrowing a shit ton of it out of the blue, right? That tightened up the markets. And here comes the headline that Sprott's opening up a physical copper trust, which is right, going to be, by definition, taking copper off of the market just like it's doing in uranium. So you get that self-fulfilling prophecy of, hey, man, the people want the commodity. They're going to get their hands on the commodity, and Mr. Sprott is going to figure out how to help you with that, and this market is going to be efficient, and if you take the commodity off the market and it tightens up, the price is going to go up. You know, so I feel like we just kind of created that flywheel of, hey, look what can go on in copper here for a while, too. Like, you know, like, the thing has just been sitting there doing nothing with these conditions apparent, right? But nothing's happening. And you guys like you and I are like the meme with the stick, like pointing at copper, like, come on, man, do something. Like, the The Chinese economy, they're going to be reflating over there. I just saw a headline where they may be buying back like these government homes that they bought just to like prop up the economy. And I don't know, maybe those are signals of a reflation trade over there that the market's picking up and saying, oh man, maybe China's going to come and, you know, buy a couple, build a couple more, you know, fake cities. I have no idea, but there's certainly some kind of a response to the Sprott Physical Trust, that China headline, the tightness in the market. You know, that's the stuff, like you said, you got to sit up in your chair, because breaking out to all-time highs, if the demand is really going to be there, then, you know, this thing can trend into long-time highs for quite a while. And when you look over the gold market and the silver market and, you know, the aluminum and the zinc chart, you're like, something's changed. You know, metals are bid, hard assets are bid. You know, it's not like a couple of years ago. It's not like, you know, we're in that position where tech is just trending higher and everything physical, natural resources going down. That dynamic has changed, and physical and natural resources have been rallying in the last month or two. So that's an important sea change for me.
Yeah. The lithium market was interesting on the back of these Biden tariffs with Chinese EVs and battery technology. Lithium equities actually had a huge bid. Producers like Albemarle had a big move. Even some of the explorers, I saw double-digit moves this week off the back of that news. So you got a little bit of geopolitical inflationary headlines here, yeah. I would like to add here. But
to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, and we're going to have a lot of discussions next week in New York for a mining conference between policy and production, right? And so there's still kind of this gap. I mean, policymakers like to make big headline moves that we saw with these tariffs, but yet the focus on where the production comes from to fill that gap is still void, I guess you could say here. You know, as we continue to get into election year, through the election year here, TG, you expect to see kind of more political posturing on the back of U.S. manufacturing, technology, and resources.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that onshoring theme, and I also think that there's a little bit of the return of Trump theme in the markets. And you know, they want to tell you that they're like neck and neck and that Biden's in the lead. And that's coming out of the mainstream media that nobody believes anymore. Like nobody. I'm literally amazed at it. Like my barber doesn't like have CNN on anymore. He's like, nah, screw these people. But that could be something that's going on, because we remember what happened when Trump won the last election and it was straight up into the right into their, you know, the pandemic scam. And so if he gets back in office, I mean, what might happen is like it might actually be bearish energy stocks and bearish the price of oil, bearish the price of gas. You know, if he turns around a lot of the Biden executive orders, we'll have the price of gas go down, and it might be tough sledding for some of the E&P companies. But man, I mean, think about that basically tax cut that it's going to be like for the American consumer if gas goes back to $1.50. In a Trump administration, and we cut regulation, and there's a little bit of a smaller government feel, and you know, the stock market parties on that too. And then he goes and gets 100,000 people at the Jersey Shore, and everybody goes, he got what in what state? Right. And that kind of sends a message that the tide is turning. And so like whatever the mainstream media says, like it doesn't matter anymore because nobody believes it. You know, people see things like that, and you look at reality, and you say, "Man, if this guy wins the election in November, things could really change." And the S&P is bid about an all-time high right now. So, how do I position for Trump in November? I just feel like there could be a little bit of that going on, because that's starting to look like a little bit more of, you know, a certainty to me. And maybe I'm looking at through a rose-colored lens, but that's how I'm seeing it, man.
Yeah, well, I don't think if you look at the political variable in the stock market, I don't see this slowing down before then, no matter what.
No, so no. Either way, I mean, you know, I mean, I could imagine that Biden might, you know, be in the Fed's ear to do everything the Fed can to make sure that it stays at all-time highs for November. And, you know, Trump would be like, yeah, wherever it is when I take office, it's going to go up, right? Because everybody knows what it means when Trump gets in office, you know, so whether that's good or bad. But man, that's just one dynamic that's itching at me that nobody wants to talk about, because we've been programmed, you know, not to be able to say anything positive about Donald Trump and that whole dynamic. And, you know, you don't want to wear the scarlet letter by being the guy out there that's like the average Trump supporter everywhere. But if you're a portfolio manager and you're not thinking about this stuff, I think you're going to be way behind the eight ball comes this fall. Put it that way.
Yeah. All right. Tony Greer from TG Macro and The Morning Navigator. It's what I read most mornings when I'm having my coffee. And sometimes
it makes my day. Makes my day.
All right. Hey, my friend, I hope, I know we talked about it. I hope I get to see you next week.
Done. For sure we will.
Yeah, buddy.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody. We got more later today here on Mining Stock Daily. We're just getting started warming up. All right. Stay tuned.
And be well. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.